Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I am a writer for the Viking Age, Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We can spread the word to the masses, which is now running 1,120 subscribers strong. So thank you all for doing all those cool YouTube things. Today's guest, you see him on my screen right now. He is a man that I met covering Vikings training camp about 10 years ago. We sat out in the heat. We were getting ready to watch Vikings run through, and they never showed up because they canceled it and didn't tell anyone. Well, they didn't tell us anyway. But since then, he's written for Zone Coverage, Purple Insider, and various outlets. He is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And the coolest part, the voice of Minnesota Golden Gophers hockey, Sam Ekstrom, joins the show. What's going on, Sam? It's been a while.
Yeah, a lot of pomp and circumstance for me in that open. I appreciate the accolades that you just heaped upon me, whether they were deserved or not. But yeah, man, a decade since that training camp where we met. I believe it was Mike Zimmer's first training camp. We were probably talking about Matt Cassel, if I'm not mistaken, the rookie Teddy Bridgewater. That was quite a year. And I'm sure Mike Zimmer was not happy to cancel practice either. He was the kind of guy that wanted to practice two-a-days in the heat. I remember that quite well.
Yeah, I tried to get the Cody Rhodes pyro also ready for you, but the fan-sided wouldn't apply that to their budget, so that's okay. But
disappointing.
I do remember that very well, too, as a wide-eyed blogger who worked full-time at Menards going over there and like, oh my God, like the ground, Adrian Peterson's running by us and the ground is shaking. Like I'm looking all over the place. Good old Mankato. But the reason I mention all of that is not only to like give the listeners a little bit of our history, but to also get ready for this year's training camp, which will be a little bit further north, Eagan TCO Performance Center. And I would like to take a look at the Vikings offense heading into training camp. And I think we can't start that without looking at the quarterback. Sam Darnold scheduled to be the projected starter. How do you feel about Sam Darnold as the projected QB1 heading into training camp?
Well, first of all, the Mankato training camp days are so far superior to the Eagan training camp days. It's not even close. Let me just get that out there now. They barely even practice now at training camp. It's like an hour and a half of walkthrough and then a half an hour of 11-on-11. The Mankato days, man, you can't beat them.
Not to interrupt you, I just want to point out one more thing. Like, you know, the kids talk about aura, right? There was aura, Mankato. You go down there, you're getting ready for football. It was like your first, you're like a junkie. That's the first hit into your veins. Now you go to Eagan, it's like, you know, there's concrete everywhere. You got those big hotels. It's like Vikingville. Just doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we want to go out to eat. Let's go to Jimmy John's down the street. And that's it. Like there's not a lot of options. And they only have 9 open practices this year. What's the deal with that? I think the organizers knew that they just don't practice that hard. A lot of days where they're not in pads, a lot of days where it's walkthrough pace. It's just different. It's different than it used to be. I'm getting old. I'm yelling at the clouds. I think Sam Darnold, should he succeed as the Vikings QB, that's just a huge win for the system. That's a huge win for Kevin O'Connell. And we've seen him extract good things from Josh Dobbs. Not all good things, some good things. Some good things from Nick Mullins as well. Maybe that's just the nature of those quarterbacks, though. Maybe that wasn't Kevin O'Connell. Like, if he gets something out of Sam Darnold, I think that's a huge win for KOC in the system. Because I don't think Sam Darnold's resume suggests to me that he's some kind of sleeping giant, that he's going to emerge and spread his wings, that he's just been in wait all this time, waiting to become a legit NFL quarterback. I look at the six-game sample that people point to in Carolina, where he was kind of league average, and I think he went 4-2. He didn't take a lot of chances in those games. He was very cautious with the football. They clearly geared the game plan so he didn't have to do too much. I also look at his time the previous 3 years, where he was like bottom five in net yards per attempt as a quarterback, which is a pretty strong indicator that you're not going to succeed. You're going to throw more interceptions. I don't think he's that good. And yet he's probably going to be your QB1. And all indications are that he's had a strong offseason, more accurate, you know, than say JJ McCarthy. So maybe he does have a better grasp with the mental side of the game at this point in his career. He has been in the league for 6 years. We'll give him credit for that. But I think that it's a coaching staff bet on themselves that they can make Sam Darnold into a competent quarterback. That's where I stand.
It's like every coaching staff has an ego, you know, like some egos, like you can see from a mile away, like the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan. This is Brock Purdy. I'm going to turn him into the greatest quarterback. Kevin O'Connell, it's like a half ego. You know what I mean? It's like, here's Sam Darnold. I'm going to do what others couldn't, but I'm also going to draft JJ McCarthy, stash him, and make him my quarterback of the future. You know, what do you think the odds are that JJ McCarthy can overtake Sam Darnold and become the week one starter for the Vikings?
I think it's low. I look at all that's been said, first of all, and all that's been said would indicate that he is on a slower path, that Kevin O'Connell maybe secretly wasn't super happy having to play Josh Dobbs when he had no system knowledge, having to play Jaren Hall when he had very little system knowledge with just a partial year under his belt. Like, I think Kevin O'Connell wants these quarterbacks to be able to kind of have some initiative in the offense and not just take instructions, but be able to kind of inject their own opinion or their own nuance into it, like Kirk Cousins could. I think Kevin O'Connell is so fixated on that piece of it. He wants to have McCarthy have such a strong foundation. I'd be surprised if he started week one. I also haven't heard that he's been awesome at camp. I've heard that he has a strong arm. I think that's been the big storyline, but is it an accurate arm? I don't know if it's as accurate as Kevin O'Connell wants it to be either. They do have a very competent Nick Mullins who could even be the backup. We're not sure JJ McCarthy is going to be the number two quarterback at this stage. If you look at the number crunchers, those that do this for a living, those that don't have as much bias or are not as close to the situation, you know, the fantasy football projectors, they think that JJ McCarthy starts very early, like week four. You look at the sports books, the way that they forecast it, they think that he probably starts after the bye. I think that's more realistic because the schedule early is tough. You could be staring at a 1-4 start, and that's just a logical on-ramp to give your rookie quarterback some run. So the leash could be short for Sam Darnold, but probably not week one short. And you know what, Chris? Sam Darnold is probably not going to play in the preseason the way that this coaching staff operates. And they don't do that much team activity in training camp either, not close to what they did in the Mike Zimmer era. So there are very few opportunities for Sam Darnold to play his way out of the job, if you know what I mean. It's not like he's going to show up in a preseason game and throw three picks because he probably isn't going to play. So I think he starts week one.
I think the preseason is going to be very interesting when it comes to the quarterback position, because you could make an argument, Sam Darnold coming into a new system, Kevin O'Connell wants a very strong foundation, and Darnold's got a little bit of experience. He played in that Kyle Shanahan system, which is kind of like a little cousin of what the Vikings try to do in Minnesota. But I also think, you know, they don't want him hurt where it's a situation like, oh my God, JJ has to start. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they would rather play Nick Mullins ahead of JJ McCarthy if Darnold, say, got hurt in week one. Like, they'd rather throw him in there, have him throw a bunch of picks, and okay, well, whenever JJ is ready, we'll turn to him. Like, do you think that, you know, McCarthy's going to get a ton of reps in the preseason and we won't see Sam Darnold at all? Or do you think that Darnold, you know, we might see him for a series or two in the preseason? I guess, do you think he should play? Because I think the answer is no, he's not going to, but you could make that argument.
I would anticipate in the next couple of weeks, and correct me if this has already come out, I haven't seen it, I would expect there to be joint practices that will be announced in short order. and that will serve as the preseason for Sam Darnold. They'll bring in another team for 2 days. He'll get ample reps in that scenario. That's what teams are doing now. They're trying to take the danger out of preseason, get the work in a non-tackling situation against you know, a real opponent. That's what they'll do for Darnold. McCarthy, I think, will get extensive reps because they have the Nick Mullins insurance policy. If McCarthy does play a lot and happens to get hurt, they do have Nick Mullins, and they probably weren't going to start J.J. McCarthy anyway. I think McCarthy gets a ton of work. I think it makes for a compelling preseason to watch because that really is like the most important quarterbacking in a preseason game we've seen around here in quite some time to see what he's got. But the preseason is also just so watered down. Like the competition you're playing is weaker. The supporting cast around you is weaker with all the guys they bench. So is it as compelling as it would have been in, you know, previous time? No, but it'll still be interesting to watch, and we'll be analyzing every single throw, Chris. We'll be watching the all 22 on the 18 J.J. McCarthy dropbacks.
You know, we were overanalyzing Jared and Hall at this point last year. Like, can he be the future quarterback? Guys, he's 25. Like, I don't think it's all that likely. But, I mean, the other part of the offense that everybody is going to be watching, and a guy we definitely will not see in the preseason, is Aaron Jones in the running game. The Vikings' running game has struggled in the first 2 years under Kevin O'Connell. They still have Ty Chandler. Everybody's favorite sleeper fantasy running back is still on the roster. There is a report, and I don't know if it's a report because it was listed on the ESPN transaction wire, but Cam Akers apparently is coming back to the Vikings. Dwayne McBride is lurking in the shadows. Like, what is your confidence in the Vikings running game led by Aaron Jones next season?
I love Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones is hyper efficient. I think he's going to give you something that you just haven't had the last couple of years. I mean, I think that Dalvin Cook, for whatever reason, and I think the blocking is in part to blame, but you had a depreciating Dalvin Cook. And I think that he affirmed that he was depreciating by the way things went with New York, right? And then you gambled on Alexander Mattison. And I could have told you that was a bad move from the beginning. I poo-pooed it from the start. And I think that also played out. If you can't run with Aaron Jones, then that's just an indictment on Chris Cooper, the offensive line. That's a big issue if you can't run. And the blocking scheme that worked so well with Bradbury, you know, and previously with Ezra Cleveland and Brian O'Neill, and Darisod to a certain extent, just a few years ago, kind of dried up when the new coaching staff came in. There's a lot of plays where there are tackles for loss, where the running back has no chance to gain any traction whatsoever. And all the underlying metrics have been poor. And I think a lot of it's the running backs. And I think some of it is the blocking scheme as well. It's a mid-zone scheme they've been trying to run. It's not like a gap scheme. It's not like a power scheme. It's just a little different than they previously tried to execute under Mike Zimmer. But I think Aaron Jones is legit. I mean, he's a guy that in Green Bay probably never ran the ball as much as they wanted him to, because they had that two-headed system, but it kept him fresh. It kept him efficient. You know, he was only getting 200 carries a year when he probably could have easily deserved 300. But in the NFL, you got to keep these guys fresh legged for later in the year. So I love Aaron Jones. I hope he's a 5 yard per carry guy. That helps out Sam Darnold tremendously. And again, Chris, I don't have the numbers on this, but Kirk Cousins was absurdly good at getting the Vikings out of third and longs. I mean, he was insanely good in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 12, trying to wriggle out of tough situations. You think Sam Darnold's going to be that? Sam Darnold's teams have had among the worst third down conversion percentage in the NFL in his career. You think he's going to get out of third and longs? Nope. So you better run the ball efficiently and avoid those situations.
Another note about Aaron Jones, big WWE fan. I actually had better seats at the Royal Rumble than Aaron Jones did back in January. I had Jelly Roll sitting a couple rows ahead of me and Aaron Jones somewhere to my left. So one of our Packer friends, he darted right over and took a picture with him. Then a couple months later, he signed with the Vikings. And I was kind of like, if only I could like master time travel and go back and be like, you're going to be a Viking. Like, huh? Then just
you
could have
got the scoop. The scoop, yes, right there. I don't know what I know less about, Jelly Roll or Royal Rumble, but I know vaguely what you're talking about.
Yeah, Jelly Roll, the country singer, was sitting a couple rows. So, I mean, that was, I don't know, that was kind of a surreal moment. Like, is that? Yeah, it is. I want to bring a stat before I get on to my next point, because you mentioned Alexander Mattison. Warren Sharp tweeted yesterday that Alexander Mattison had 9 rushes inside the 5-yard line last year. The result was -7 yards and 0 touchdowns. He was the first running back in the last 25 years to have more than 6 attempts inside the 5, but score no TDs and actually lose at least 2 yards in total. I mention this not only because to point out how big the Alexander Mattison gamble failed, but Ty Chandler could not overtake Alexander Mattison for the starting job until December. We're hearing a lot of good things. We know they brought in Aaron Jones. And really, if we're being honest, if the Vikings get more than 13 games from Aaron Jones, it's a big W as far as that signing goes. So when it comes to Ty Chandler, do you think he can be a true 1B to Aaron Jones like some people have talked about? Or is this a player who, I don't know. I don't know what to think about Ty Chandler. What do you think about Ty Chandler?
I am a Ty Chandler fan. I think that while there may have been a lapse or two in pass blocking, I don't think his pass blocking is nearly as weak as some would indicate. I mean, I watched him all training camp. I watched him all preseason. I thought he was actually quite competent in that regard. Probably not Alexander Mattison level. That always plays a bigger role in playing time decisions than fans talk about, is that Alexander Mattison could be trusted to pass block. Again, on a team, Chris, that throws the ball a ton under Kevin O'Connell, like the most in the league at some junctures. So it makes sense why Alexander Mattison got that time he did and why Ty Chandler did not. But with some refinement, if he improves even 10% on last year, I think he's more than enough to be trusted as a pass blocker. And I love what he brings in the receiving game and the running. I would absolutely make him my number 2. I don't know about 1B. That might be giving him too much credit. I think it's going to be a clear number 1 situation with Jones, even though some fantasy forecasters don't believe that. I think it will be. But I think Ty Chandler certainly has the leg up on that number 2 spot. I don't, and maybe you're planning to ask about this, I don't anticipate Dwayne McBride really challenging all that much. Wong Wu has been pigeonholed as a special teamer his entire career. Not sure what's changed. And then Cam Akers is the wild card. You know, 2 Achilles injuries now. What's his health situation? I thought he offered a lot of burst. Does he still have that burst? We don't know. So Chandler, to me, feels like the clear-cut number 2, and we'll see if there's any new information that presents itself in training camp to change my mind.
I'm looking at PFF stats right now, and you mentioned Ty Chandler, so I'm like, I wonder how he did in pass blocking. So he actually had a higher percentage of pass blocking snaps than Alexander Mattison did. Chandler played 32.1%, Mattison played 21.8%. They both allowed 9 pressures last season. Mattison on 82 pass blocking snaps, Ty Chandler on 62 pass blocking snaps. So when it comes to Ty Chandler, I think about Matt Boldy, who Wild fans know, if they follow me on Twitter, I criticize Matt Boldy a lot because a lot of people want to put him in the rafters and they want to make him a Hall of Famer immediately. Like, a lot of people think that with Ty Chandler because he's very fast, but there are also facets of his game that he needs to work on. Pass blocking is one of them, but there were other moments where he ran the wrong way on a play. Maybe it was ball security. Maybe it was those things. And I think that's why they brought in Aaron Jones, not only because a good player became available, but they also thought that, hey, if you know Ty Chandler needs a little bit more seasoning, we're going to be prepared in case of that. So, I mean, I think Ty Chandler is a good player, but to become the player that the Vikings need, he just needs to work on a little couple little things. And I mean, if he does that, we're talking about a player who could definitely be an RB1 for the Vikings.
I mean, look at the way the Vikings have allotted snaps to their number 2 back in the last 2 years. You're not getting that much. I mean, we're talking about whoever that.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
number two is. It might be a five carry allotment. They gave a lot to Dalvin Cook in 2022. And even their RB1 last year, Madison, didn't get that much work in a lot of games. So the number two back on this team in this system hasn't been really widely valued. And that makes it pretty easy to make a change, right, Chris? So if it doesn't go well in that small sample size for Chandler early, you can certainly turn the page to Cam Akers. You can certainly turn the page to Kenny Wongwu. And speaking of burst, he's got plenty of that. Can he pass block? I don't know. So they've created a room that has depth. Isn't Miles Gaskin still on the roster too, Chris? I mean, they've got plenty of bodies certainly to fill those voids. And if you want to make it a big old competition for RB spots 2 and 3, have at it. Those players haven't historically played a lot under Kevin O'Connell or produced a lot. Maybe that changes with Sam Darnold as your quarterback. We'll see.
Moving on to the tight end position, that's another big question mark for the Vikings offense. TJ Hockenson obviously recovering from that multi-ligament knee injury, sounding more and more like he's going to miss at least the first month of the season, maybe more than that. What do you think is the earliest we'll see TJ Hockenson on the field?
I think week 5. I think Pup is probably a guarantee. And then if they can get him going right after that, that would be week 5. Now, maybe it's week 6. Is the bye week 7?
Week 7, yep.
Okay, so, you know, they've also been known to hold guys until after their bye week, kind of like they did with Justin Jefferson last year with his injury. Different circumstance, though, with Hockenson, who, you know, he had the ear infection last year because he wanted the contract. Now that he's got the contract, I don't think there's as much incentive for him to milk is probably too strong a word, but to be cautious with his body. So I think that gives me more reason to think that week 5 could be a possibility, maybe week 6 if they're trying to ramp him up and get his conditioning right. But probably a Pup stint, and then, you know, the Pup is shorter now, 4 weeks out, and then come back week 5. I think that's realistic.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. It's actually week 6 is the bye. So it would be the first 5 games.
Oh, okay.
They play the Jets. I get it screwed up because the Lions is the 6th game, and it's week 6, week 7. It's kind of like the 17-game schedule. That throws me off too. But
yeah.
I think playing it safe with Hockenson is smart. You obviously have Josh Oliver and Robert Tonyan on the roster. You have Johnny Munt, who I don't really have a question about him, but I think he's just Kevin O'Connell sees the world in his eyes when he looks at him and whatever. That's the NFL's best third tight end. How do you think that group can fill in for Hockenson while he takes his time recovering from this injury?
Yeah, it is a good question, because the reason they don't have a robust wide receiver 3, I think, is in part because their tight end is so good. But if their tight end Hockenson isn't on the field, well, then they do have some dearth at pass catcher. I think Robert Tonyan could be the sneaky move. I think Robert Tunyon's a much more pure pass catcher than Josh Oliver or Johnny Munt, for that matter. I think Tonyan could actually be the guy that fills that void in. They do have enough lightning bugs, if you will, that could, like the Sherfields, the Powells, that could make do, I think, while they're searching for that third receiving option. But Tonyan is the sneaky one. I like the Tonyan signing at the price. He's only 2 years removed from having a really good season. Everyone gets kind of lost on the Chicago Bears. I'm not too stressed out about him not being effective last year. I think that could be a really good value signing by Kwesi.
The third receiver thing is interesting to me, because I think a lot of people look at Brandon Powell and they go, okay, decent third receiver. He can catch a pass every now and then. He can block or whatever. But then they think, hey, what happens if Justin Jefferson gets hurt or Jordan Addison gets hurt? And it's almost like people have a case of the member berries when they start tossing out, you know, potential replacements. Like, oh, I remember Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow helped me win my fan. Michael Thomas. I loved Michael Thomas. These guys are great. Like, do you think the Vikings have a problem at wide receiver 3? Or like you mentioned, I mean, you said Robert Tonyan could be a sneaky signing, but should they make a depth signing on the wide receiver front? Or what do you think there?
Yeah, they certainly have the cap space to do it. But again, are you doing it just for those first 4 games where, again, TJ Hockenson is going to take up a tremendous target share? Justin Jefferson's one of the, you know, the biggest target shares in the league. Jordan Addison presumably is going to be one of the top number two receivers in the league. So are you signing someone big just for a four-game stretch where you don't have TJ Hockenson? Is that a wise way to spend your resources? Maybe not. They might be very content trying to just watch Jalen Naylor, Thayer Thomas, Brandon Powell, and Trent Sherfield battle it out and see who emerges. And you know what? I think I'm okay with that. I really do. I think that this team, there's enough coaching talent on this staff with Keenan McCardell. Kevin O'Connell, we saw in the mic'd up video last week, he was really coaching Thayer Thomas hard, which was kind of cool to see. I thought Brandon Powell was actually quite effective as well when he was called upon last year. So I am content with where they're at wide receiver and just watching the process play out. There are almost always young receivers that emerge. And this is how KJ Osborne emerged out of nowhere, was he just had a phenomenal training camp and it turned him into something. So let's just, I'm cool with it. Let's let the process play out. Your third receiver, once TJ Hockenson is active, is going to play such a minor role that I think you can fill that with some youth and just carry that cap space over. No need to spend it on, you know, the Robert Woods veteran cut or whatever that might be.
Yeah. As we're sitting here recording this on Wednesday morning, obviously Justin Jefferson's starring in receiver, but I'm not a psycho and didn't stay up at midnight and watch the entire series rapid fire. So we'll be reviewing that on Monday if you're looking for that. But right now I want to focus on Jordan Addison. He had a big rookie year, 911 yards, 10 touchdowns. You could also argue he might have been close to 1,000 yards if it not been for Kirk Cousins' injury. Do you think he can have an even better sophomore campaign, or what can we expect from Jordan Addison this year?
Yeah, it's a great question because, you know, last year was unique in that Justin Jefferson wasn't around for a lot of that season. So we saw him put up numbers with Kirk when he was the number two. We saw him put up numbers even when he was with Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins as kind of a number one, or you know, he and Osborne kind of 1A, 1B situation. We saw him put up numbers with Kenny Pickett and Caleb Williams. He just puts up numbers wherever he goes. Also have to consider that if Justin Jefferson is the number one all year, and if the quarterback play isn't quite as good, maybe there is a drop-off too. There are other variables that are out of Jordan Addison's control. He did, Chris, stop having success with the over-the-top, you know, deep ball after the, I think in three of the first four games, he had a bomb, right? Like a 50-plus yard touchdown. And those dried up after the first few weeks of the year. Defenses maybe gave him a little more respect, and that didn't come to fruition. So I'm cautious about Addison. He also had a almost perfect health season. I think he had one little tweak late in the year, but he played in 17 games. At his size, it might be naive to assume that he's going to have that again. So I have my cautions with Jordan Addison. I don't know if there's like another level to his game where suddenly he's, you know, tearing the cover off defenses for 100 yards per game and like making Justin Jefferson a second option. Addison is always going to be the second option. But if he is an 800-yard receiver, I would be very happy with that.
Moving on to the offensive line, of course, Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill are good. But of course, as an annual tradition with Vikings fans, they have one question. Can he play guard? The Vikings appear to be all in on Blake Brandel. They brought back Dalton Reisner. Ed Ingram, you know, he took a step forward, but we don't really know if he's going to be a starter. Like, how do you think this guard position shakes out heading into training camp?
Yeah, I'm going to advocate for a Reisner-Brandel guard combo. I think that Reisner is there to compete for a job, not necessarily at left guard or right guard. I just think they want to see if he is one of their two best guard. I think that Ingram is totally replaceable. Got a little better back half of last year, not a lot better. Brandel has clearly gained the trust of this coaching staff, Chris. You don't give a three-year contract to somebody that's a camp body. Like, they like Blake Brandel, whether that's as a sixth man, as a swing, who can play four different positions, or as a starter. I think there's validity to that. I'm not sure why Dalton Reisner can't get a job. It's a little mystifying to me because the numbers are not bad by any means. He's not too old, and every press conference he gives is like the greatest thing ever. So either either his agent drives a very hard bargain that nobody wants to pay him what he initially asks for, or he's horrible behind the scenes as a person, which the indications are not that. I don't know why he can't get a job. I don't know why it always takes forever to get Dalton Risner in the building. But I think that it's and you could see any of the permutations. I think you could see Ingram Risner, Ingram Brandel, Brandel Risner. I think they're all on the table.
He does like his food, though, as we learned in one of his press conferences.
He's a foodie. I'm a big fan of that answer. That was great. He knows the culture here.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like a verbal tour. Like, I've never heard of that place. Like, I've never heard Nashville Coop. I've heard of because they built one in Rochester, but I never tried it before I moved. But yeah, a lot of food options. Dalton Risner threw out in that interview at the end of minicamp. The last question I have about the offensive line is Garrett Bradbury. A lot of Vikings fans kind of, I think he got kind of put, I don't want to call it an unfair situation, but more like an unfortunate situation as a first round pick. He goes in, he struggles right away. He gets re-signed, looks a little bit better under Kevin O'Connell, but now he's struggling with a back injury. You know, do you think Garrett Bradbury is playing for his Viking career this season, or is there somebody, or do you think he's safe? And maybe this is a player that they're going to keep that level of play locked in on the offensive line.
Well, again, you know, Garrett Bradbury does a lot of great stuff before the snap. That's his strength. He is good in the huddle. He is good approaching the line. He is good during the cadence. He's good at all these things. It's during the play that you worry about him, right? Next year, I think he's got $2.4 million dead, very cuttable. So from a contract standpoint, he is absolutely vulnerable after this year. And I think you're probably right. Now, I don't know what the pipeline is not flourishing right now. We don't know who would replace him as of this moment, but there's always free agency. The Vikings have a lot of money to spend next year. Part of that money could go to find the center. So yeah, I do think Garrett Bradbury could be playing for his Vikings life. I thought last year was pedestrian. It was not as bad as it had been earlier in his career, but I think still pedestrian. I think that his resurgent 2022 might have been a little bit of a flash in the pan. Back injury early in the year certainly didn't help. So Bradbury, yes, he's lasted far longer as the starting center than I believed he would. End of the road could come soon unless he has another late renaissance here.
The last question I have for you isn't quite offense, but he scores points, so I'm going to put him on here. Will Reichard, sixth round kick out of Alabama, huge history, a strangely polarizing pick along Vikings fans. But as we know here in Minnesota, we think our kickers are cursed. Do you think Will Reichard can end this curse, or what? Let's just ask it. Are the Vikings kickers cursed? Because I wrote about this at Zone Coverage. I looked into everything, and if you put everything in a vacuum, they're all understandable situations. And even before Gary Anderson missed his kick, Vikings had a lot of good kickers. They had Fred Cox. They had Fuad Rivez, who was one of the best kickers in the league. I mean, Gary Anderson, of course, we know, didn't miss a kick in 1998. Shanks won in the NFC Championship game. And Ryan Longwell, right? Even after Gary Anderson missed that kick. Like, are the Vikings cursed at kicker? Is this something we should worry about? Or should we just let the kid kick and see what happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of the worst things happening at the worst times, and we've built up a lot of scar tissue, and also just some bad decision making. I think the Greg Joseph era was a bad decision. Every single year they brought him back, I thought was questionable. He never had statistically seasons where you would say, "Oh, that guy's bulletproof." And yet they kept bringing him back. If you look at his three-year sample size, which was like 100 field goals, one of the worst in the NFL over that span. Extra points, field goals, whatever. He was not a consistent kicker whatsoever. Yeah, he fell into some really good moments. But over the course of those 3 years, the Greg Joseph era was, I think pretty tough. So Will Reichard, is he going to break the curse? I mean, could he break it for this year like Blair Walsh broke it in 2012, Chris? Sure. Blair Walsh broke the curse in 2012, and then what happened? Then 2015 happened. Then 2016 happened. So the curse is not broken by a single year. The curse is broken by like a decade of Adam Vinatieri-like excellence. And Will Reichard also not guaranteed a job. John Parker Romo from the XFL competing with him and I don't think that Will Reichert is given a job. I think he does have to earn it to some extent. There'll probably be some alternating in preseason and training camp, and they'll compete. They'll compete, and they'll see what happens.
Dallas Turner called Will Reichert a cold-blooded sniper during an interview on KFAN, which, you know, that's what you want to hear if you're a Vikings fan. But like you said, Blair Walsh had a couple of good years. I believe he, what was it, 10 50-yard field goals in 2012?
In a row.
Yeah,
I think
he actually made the Pro Bowl in 2015 as well. Like, he was one of the best kickers in the league. And I remember it well because I was there and he shanked a kick into the Mississippi River and he got the Chuck Knoblauch yips. I mean, some of the younger people watching this may not remember, but the Twins had an all-star second baseman, Chuck Knoblauch. They trade him to the Yankees. He forgets how to throw to first base. That is basically what happened to Blair Walsh. And it doesn't help, too, when you have Mike Zimmer as your coach holding a metaphorical shotgun on the sideline every time you miss a kick.
Yeah, that could not have been a fun couple of years for Blair Walsh. I mean, I believe the story is accurate where they told Blair Walsh before they cut him for Kai Forbath, they said, if you miss another kick, you're done. And guess what, Chris? He missed an extra point in Washington before halftime. And that was it for him. That's just not a great way to handle your kicker.
You're a golfer. I mean, you know how that works. Like, hey, don't shank this into the woods. You know what happens on the shot usually? You put it right into the woods, or as I like to call it, the shad fairway when I'm golfing. But exactly what people talk about. Hey, this has been fun, but I got to ask you, what's going on at the Locked On Network right now?
Yeah, we got daily content Monday through Friday. We've got a variety of shows. The football party, which is probably best for Vikings fans. That's Mondays and Thursdays with Arif Hasan, Luke Braun, Luke Inman. The Ron Johnson show, he's very plugged in. That's on Tuesdays. And if you're a Twins fan, we have instant reaction shows after each game with Luke Inman hosting with various panelists. So a lot of good content, all sports, not just football. Locked On Sports Minnesota, subscribe on YouTube.
And I don't think you do a lot of social stuff, but let me ask for Locked On fans, where can they follow all those? I mean, if you got a Twitter, go ahead and, or sorry, an X account. I keep messing that up. I'm old. I'm locked into Twitter, but plug your social accounts here.
Yep. At Locked On MIN for the company account, or if you want to follow my dusty, rarely used X account, that is at Sam Ekstrom, first and last name.
Get follow Sam because he posts, sometimes he'll post his gopher calls. So, I mean, you know, I was going to say Logan Cooley scores. You can find out about it there, but he's long gone. He's with
Snuggerud,
the Coyotes,
man. It's the year of Snuggerud. Matthew Wood. Get to know that name.
You can tell my knowledge of college hockey isn't as strong for somebody who complains about the Wild all the time, but Z Booyam, let's go. 2 years from now, he'll be, I'm sure he'll develop all that grit the Wild need.
He's going to be legit. I actually like that pick better than Charlie Stramel.
I do. I will agree with you there. Hey, Stramel, Michigan State, baby. Here we go. Thanks for coming on, Sam. Always fun to have you. But that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We are in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Sam Ekstrom, I am Chris Shad. This is the Viking Age podcast.